طيب الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما مزيدا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. شرح العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. The شرح of Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen رحمه الله الجميع. رحم الله الجميع. And we are currently dealing with the إثبات الاسم لله. Affirming the name for Allah. Explanation. ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله آية في إثبات الاسم لله تعالى. The author, may Allah have mercy on him, quoted or cited one verse to prove the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآيات أخرى كثيرة في تنزيه الله تعالى ونفي المثيل عنه. An abundance of other verses whereby Allah was freed from any imperfection and any equals were negated or were negated from Allah having any equals. Allah was negated from having any equals. As for the ayah which was used by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, ayatu ithbatu al-ism tabarak asmu rabbika dhil jalali wal ikram, Surah al-Rahman verse 78. Allah Azza wa Jal says, interpretation of the meaning in English, blessed is the name of your Rabb, your Lord, the possessor of grace and bounty. Tabarak, قال العلماء معناها تعالى وتعاظم إن وصف بها الله. Tabarak means, according to the scholars, hallowed and extolled if it is used as describing Allah. فقوله فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين, such as Allah saying, blessed is Allah, the best of creators. وأن وصف بها اسم الله كان معناها أن البركة تكون باسم الله. Whereas if it is a quality or an adjective for the name of Allah, not for Allah Azza wa Jalla himself, for Allah's name, then it means that this is the mean, that this is the source of blessing, baraka. أي أن اسم الله إذا صاحب شيئا صارت فيه البركة. Meaning if Allah's name is accompanied with any other affair, then blessings will be attained thereof. ولهذا جاء في الحديث, this is why it comes in a narration which is a weak narration. You should know that, even though it's very popular. كل أمر ذي بال لا يبدأ فيه بسم الله فهو أبتر. Every matter of importance, any matter in this matter actually, that does not begin with the name of Allah is deficient. Abtar is cut off, incomplete. Ay naqis al-baraka, meaning deficient in blessings. But this hadith is inauthentic. It's inauthentic. بل إن تسمية تفيد حل الشيء الذي يحرم بدونها أو يحرم بدونها. تسمية, mentioning Allah's name, has a number of benefits. Even with this hadith being inauthentic, it doesn't change some of the following information. First, that which is haram becomes lawful with the saying of Bismillah, such as slaughtering the animals. فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا سَمَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى الذَّبِيحَ صَارَتْ حَلَالًا. If he mentions Allah's name upon slaughtering an animal, sacrificing an animal, then it becomes halal. وَإِذَا لَمْ يُسَمِّ صَارَتْ حَرَامًا وَمِيتًا. And if he does not, it becomes unlawful, it becomes like a dead animal, right? وهناك فرق بين الحلال الطيب الطاهر والميتة النجسة الخبيثة. And there's a vast difference between that which is lawful, pure, that which is lawful and pure, and that which is filthy and impure. وإذا سمى الإنسان على طهارة الحدث صحت. وإذا لم يسمي لم تصح على أحد القولين أو لم تصح على أحد القولين. Similarly, if one was to mention Allah's name before performing an act of purification, like ablution or ghusl and the likes, then it becomes valid. And if he doesn't, it becomes invalid, according to one of the two opinions. Because the ulama have differed. Some of the ulama say, if you do wudu without saying Bismillah, there's no wudu for you. There's no wudu for you. And others say, it is just a recommendation. Saying Bismillah is a recommendation. Making wudu without basmala, which is known as basmala, right, does not affect the validity of the ablution. Right? So ulama have differed. Allahu alam, which is the strongest opinion. على كل حال. Thirdly, وإذا سمى الإنسان على طعامه لم يأكل معه الشيطان وإن لم يسم أكل معه. And if a person mentions Allah's name before he eats, if he does not afwan, if he mentions Allah's name, the shaitan will not eat with him. But if he does not mention Allah's name, the shaitan will eat with him. This is bad, right? Person having dinner with a shaitan, walayyadu billah. Maybe we never thought of it this way, but that's what it is. You're having lunch, dinner, breakfast with the shaitan, right? And tayyib, let's say you forget, for whatever reason, you start eating, you know, you're so excited, so hungry after a long day of work, they put the food in front of you and ala tul, you start eating, and then you realize and while eating that you have not mentioned Allah's name. Is there any outlet or your what happens? بسم الله في أوله وآخره. بسم الله في أوله وآخره. In the name of Allah, in the beginning and at the end. You took us to sleep, man. Barakallah fi. He gave us a dua of waking up. معليش. After a long day of work, this is all possible and expected. Okay then. So then, mentioning Allah's name, and you know, and really, يعني, what it is it's just a matter of being mindful of Allah. The more a person is mindful of Allah, the lesser the chances of him forgetting to mention Allah's name. Come on, يعني, what is it that is so urgent that you sit down and eat without? Yes, it happens occasionally. But for someone to, you know, do it 80% of the time and hardly ever remember Allah before eating, this means that this person is not mindful of Allah. Similar to that, is you find shuyukh, you find du'at, not implementing the most basic of sunan, right? And that makes you wonder what's going on. Putting on the shoes. How can someone get out of this masjid, alaykum salam, and put on his left shoe first? It's inconceivable that someone is so negligent about Allah and the deen of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that he puts on his left shoe first without thinking that I just opposed the sunnah, right? If someone was mindful of Allah, his heart will not allow him. You know, there's something that will repel you. As soon as you put on your left, it's as if you were stung by a snake, and you just panic and you take it off, and you have to put the right first. It's a simple matter. It's just a sunnah. You're not going to go to, I mean, it's not a matter of Jannah or Jahannam. It may be, depending on the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but ideally it's not an obligation in Islam. But still, the true believer takes these matters seriously. So when you find, you know, this is not being practiced, this is an indication that this person is not mindful of Allah. Because if you are mindful of Allah, you remember, what is the sunnah in putting on my shoes? What is the sunnah in putting on my clothes? What is the sunnah in taking off my clothes? Do you begin with the right or the left? You begin with the left in taking off, so you could end your removal of the clothes with the right. Whereas when you put them on, you begin with the right first. So these are all basic things that anyone can implement. So when a person is heedless, they will not remember these things. So you find everything goes for them. Whatever shoe comes first, they will put it on. Whatever shirt, whatever sleeve is in there first, they will put it on. And the list goes on. But this is يعني, you know, we should not be like that, inshallah. We should be better Muslims. وَإِذَا سَمَّ الْإِنسَانِ عَلَى جِمَاعِهِ وَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ جَنِّبْنَا الشَّيْطَانَ وَجَنِّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا. Are you married? Okay, match. And so we have two. And if a person was to mention Allah before having intercourse with his wife or his right hand possession, we don't have that today, and he were to say, oh Allah, make janibna shaitan, keep us away from the shaitan. And keep the shaitan away from that which you will bless us with, from that which you have blessed us with, if there's any children that will be produced as a consequence of that relation, then as the Prophet ﷺ said, the shaitan will not be able to approach him. It doesn't mean that he will never be harmed by the shaitan. The ulama have interpreted this in a number of ways. The usual explanation is that this person will be in such a condition in the process of him being given the privilege of being the shaitan not having full authority over him, right? But then if he chooses to become misguided at some point in his life, hey, that happens, right? So this is a person, a choice. Otherwise this is blessings from the beginning for the children. نعم ثم قدر بينهما ولد لم يضره الشيطان أبدا وأن لم يفعل فالولد عرضة لضرر الشيطان. So if he was blessed with a child, the shaitan will never be able to harm him in the ultimate sense. And if he does not, then the child is exposed to the harm of the shaitan. So these are some of the benefits of mentioning Allah's name subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the barakah associated with that. وعليه فنقول إن فتبارك هنا ليست بمعنى تعالى وتعاظم بل يتعين أن يكون معناها حلت البركة باسم الله أي أن اسمه سبب للبركة إذا صاحب شيئا. So the Sheikh said, based on that we say تبارك here does not mean hallowed and extolled is Allah. Rather, in this context it must mean the blessings of Allah are attained by mentioning His name. Meaning whenever Allah's name is mentioned with something, then blessings are attained thereof. وَقَوْلُهُ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Possessor of grace and bounty. ذِي بِمَعْنَى صَاحِب ذِي meaning possessor, right? ذِي مَالٍ the possessor of wealth, right? And so on and so forth. وَهَيَ صِفَةٌ لِرَبْ لَا لِإِسْمٍ And it's an adjective for the term رَبْ and not ism. لو كانت صفة الاسم لكانت ذو. If it was an adjective, this is all grammar. For ism, تبارك اسم ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. If it was for ism, then it would have been ذو. Like in the previous ayah in Surah Al-Rahman. تبارك الله لا. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. It was with ذو. Because of the position of the word in the sentence. In the end of the ayah, in the end of the surah, تبارك اسم ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام. This has to do with the grammatical position of the word in the sentence. And this is quite technical, but it's interesting also. والجلال بمعنى العظمة. جلال meaning hollow, hallowed. Greatness, majesty, magnificence. والإكرام يعني معنى بمعنى التكريم. An إكرام is bountifulness, bounty. وهو صالح لأن يكون الإكرام من الله لمن أطاعه وممن أطاعه الله وممن أطاعه له. And that is applicable to that which the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal will honor those who obey Him وممن أطاعه له and will honor the one who was obeyed for the sake of Allah. He will be given ikram. He will be honored. And this, so ikram is honor, ikram, bounty, depending on the context, whether we are referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to the creation. فالجلال عظمته في نفسه. Then Allah's jalal, grace, you know, of this nature, hallowed, is something specific to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, is His own self. والإكرام عظمته في قلوب المؤمنين. And this إكرام, honor, bounty is in the hearts of the believers. فيكرمونه ويكرمهم. So they honor Allah Azza wa Jal and He honors them accordingly. Okay? So this does with the ayah dealing with the name of Allah. تبارك اسم ربك اسم ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام. اسم. Okay, the name of your Lord. آيات الصفات المنفية في تنزيه الله ونفي المثل أو المثل عنه. Now we'll be dealing with the ayat which deal with the attributes of denial in exalting Allah and negating Him having any equals. There's nothing like Him. الآية الأولى قوله فاعبده واصطبر لعبادته هل تعلم له سميا. So worship Him and be patient for His worship. Do you know of any similarity to him? That's one way they translate it. The other translation is, do you know anyone who shares his names? Right? And the reason why this is the case, because the wording entertains both definitions or translations. There's the literal translation of the ayah, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّ from ism, which means, do you know anyone who shares his names? Okay? And then there's the understanding behind the ayah, which has to deal with the meaning, which is, do you know of any similarity to him? Right? So we understand both, and we will use both accordingly. Now with the sharh of the shaykh, everything will be clarified بإذنالله عز وجل. حسناً إذن شرح المؤلف رحمه الله أو شرع المؤلف رحمه الله بالصفات السلبية أي صفات النفي. Allah, عفواً, the مؤلف, may Allah have mercy on him, the author of this book, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, we love him for the sake of Allah, and Allah is our witness that we love him for the sake of Allah. He initiated using the attributes, the negating attributes, okay, the negating attributes, which is known as sifatun nafi, or denial, denying or negating, however you like to translate it.
وقد مر علينا فيما سبق أن صفات الله عز وجل ثبوتية وسلبية.
And we had explained previously that the attributes of Allah are of two kinds: ثبوتية, affirmation, وسلبية, negation. Either Allah affirms something to Himself, or He negates something from Himself. So He affirms الحي, القدير, العليم. He negates sleep, slumberness, sinatun, naum, لم يكن له كفوا أحد, and things of this nature.
أي منفية, لأن الكمال لا يتحقق إلا بالإثبات والنفي. إثبات الكمالات ونفي النقائص.
Because perfection is unattainable unless we have affirmation and negation. Affirming all perfect qualities of perfection and negating all deficiencies. This is where we say, for example, because you may say that one is strong, right? But that is relevant. What is intended by that? But when you say this person is strong and he's not a coward, right? This is perfection. When you affirm and negate also deficiency. He's generous and he's not miserly, right? And so on and so forth.
قوله فاعبده واصطبر لعبادته.
The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, so worship Him and be patient for His worship. Have patience for His worship.
الفاء مفرعة على ما سبق.
This فاء is a continuation or a branch of what had preceded in this statement, in this ayah that was before, which is
رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما.
Lord, the Lord of the heavens and the earth and everything between them. فَعْبُدْهُ, then worship Him. So the fa entails sequence. Because He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, what is the automatic consequence? Worship Allah. If Allah is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, do you worship Vishnu or Vishna or Shiva or whatever the Hindus have?
No.
Do you worship Jesus? No. Do you worship, you know, idols, monkeys, cows? No. Because none of them created anything. So naturally you worship the Creator. So you find the Quran is always dealing with the issue in this fashion. Allah affirms His rububiyyah, the qualities of lordship, then because the mushrikeen, even the mushrikeen believed that, right? The mushrikeen knew that Allah was the creator of the heavens and the earth. Once Allah made them acknowledge that, then the consequence was, then worship Him alone. Don't worship Allat wal Uzza wa ila akhirihi, the other gods that they were worshipping besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فذكر سبحانه وتعالى الربوبية رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما as we mentioned. وفر على ذلك وجوب عبادته.
So then the Allah made worshipping Him obligatory as a consequence of Him being the creator, sustainer, provider, cherisher, arranger of the affairs of everything in the heavens and the earth.
لأن كل من أقر بالربوبية لزمه الإقرار بالعبودية والألوهية وإلا صار متناقضا.
Because everyone who affirms Allah's lordship must
acknowledge Allah's worship and Allah's عُبُودِيَّة أُلُوهِيَّة both. عُبُودِيَّة as a abd to the Lord, أُلُوهِيَّة meaning Allah being the one deserving to be worshipped, the deity who deserves worship. Otherwise the person is contradicting himself. There's contradiction.
فَقَوْلُهُ فَعْبُدْهُ أَيْتَذَلَّ لَهُ مَحَبَّةً وَتَعْظِيمًا.
So what does ibadah mean? Meaning humiliate yourself for him in love and magnifying, by loving Allah and magnifying Allah. This is how ibadah is established. Belittling oneself, humiliating oneself as means of loving Allah and magnifying His greatness. This is why when you want to worship Allah, you place the most honorable organ or body part, which is your face, on the ground. Now, nowadays there's, you know, some nice fancy carpets, but before, and even if you pray elsewhere, this may not be the case. You may be placing your face on some dust, on some dirt, on some soil. It could be anything, right? And you know, there's no problem with that. A Muslim placing his face, this is a manifestation of that reality.
يُرَادُ بِهَا الْمُتَعَبَّدُ بِهِ
And وَالْعِبَادَ يُرَادُ بِهَا الْمُتَعَبَّدُ بِهِ And ibadah could mean that which is used as acts of worship. The acts of worship themselves are called ibadah. Salah, zakah, hajj, umrah, and so on and so forth.
وَيُرَادُ بِهَا التَّعَبُّدُ الَّذِي هُوَ فِعْلُ الْعَبْدِ
And it also could mean the act of worship performed by the slave. So the salah is an ibadah. The worshipper who's doing salah, musalli, then ibadah is also applicable to him in terms of the names.
كما سبق في المقدمة, as we had explained in the introduction of this book. وقوله واصطبر,
and be patient.
اصطبر أصلها في اللغة اصطبر.
تبه. Linguistically, the root word for istabir with a ta is with a ta. Istabir, ta, ta. Not istabir, now it's sabr, wastabir with a ta. But the original word is with a ta.
فأبدلت التاء طاء لعلة تصريفية.
Because of some linguistic grammatical issue, things dealing with the grammar, the ta was removed and it was replaced with the ta.
والصبر حبس النفس.
The definition of sabr, we've dealt with this before, is withholding oneself from following its desires. Imprisoning yourself. It's like placing yourself in a single cell behind bars, whereby you are unable to follow your wishes and your whims, and you protect yourself from transgression. So you put yourself in your own prison. This is sabr, because you know, you get angry, you want to punch someone. Gotta keep cool, you know. You want to scream, you gotta keep cool. You want to quit your job, you have to keep cool, you know. Things of this nature. This is sabr. You're withholding yourself from doing what you... Otherwise, if you didn't have patience, life will never go on. Without patience, no one will survive. And people commit suicide from the first day. Right? I can't take it anymore, you know. And people do this, those who don't have Islam in their lives. You know, especially the Hindus. You know, they say, let's just take, you know, we'll come back maybe as something better than this. This life is not working. You know, a cricket game goes on. You know, their team loses. Go commit suicide. Come back in the next, you know, with the reincarnated soul. Maybe something a little better. Maybe I'll be in a... Ya Shaykh, Allah yastur bas.
على كل حال. وكلمة استبر أبلغ من اصبر.
Now, the expression استبر is stronger in meaning than اصبر. اصبر, be patient. استبر is like... exaggeration, right? Emphasis. There's emphasis on patience.
لِأَنَّا تَدُلُّ عَلَى مُعَانَى
Because it indicates, it's indicative of struggling.
فَالْمَعْنَى اصْبِرْ وَأَنْ شَقَّ عَلَيْكَ ذَلِكَ
So the meaning becomes, be patient even if it is difficult, even if there's hardship. Because sometimes patience is easy, right? Sometimes it's difficult. So اصْطَبِرْ means be patient along with the difficulty that you may endure at the time of adversity.
كما يقابل القرين قرينه في ميدان القتال في ميدان القتال نعم
the same way, how do you become patient? Just like the warriors you know, fight against one another in the battlefield, right? You know, they go face to face,
with the armor and with their, you know, the sword and whatever they have, with their horses, and they, you know. So patience means you just have to go out and in war. This kind of sabr requires some extra effort on your behalf, as opposed to the sabr, which is maybe a little weaker in meaning. But obviously, this is what the Shaykh was trying to indicate. Naam. وَقَوْلُ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّةً. Oh. وَقَوْلُ لِعِبَادَةِ عَفْوًا. It looks like this is repeated here. قِيلَ إِنَّ اللَّامِ بِمَعْنَى عَلَى, أي اصطبر عليها. كما قال تعالى وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. وَقِيلَ بَلِ اللَّامِ عَلَى أَصْلِهَا, أي اصطبر لها. Whatever. Again here the Shaykh is saying that lam could mean be patient upon it or be patient for it. Okay, this is just a linguistic difference. Also meaning deal with it with patiently. وَقَوْلُ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّةً, which is what we're looking for. الْإِسْتِفْهَامُ لِلنَّفِي. This is an interrogative expression which intends to deny. Which intends to deny. Negation. The intent is to negate even though the form is a question. Okay? Do you know any who share? Do you know anyone who shares his name? What does it mean? No one shares his name. You see what I'm saying? So for example, you're somebody, one of these athletes, right? Who's conceited. He'll say to the people, have you seen anything like me? And I've seen a better player, right? What does that mean? He's denying the existence of any other player like him. Meaning, I am the best player. But the way he's, instead of saying, I am the best player in the world, he said, have you seen any player like me? Which means, you know, that he's denying the existence of others and affirming that perfection to himself. Is that clear? This is just one of the issues, you know, one of the language issues. وَإِذَا كَانَ الْإِسْتِفْهَامُ بِمَعْنَى النَّفِي كَانَ مُشَرَّبًا مَعْنَى التَّحَدِّي. And what is the benefit of that? The benefit of that is that whenever it comes in this particular format, then this is, يعني, it's full of challenge. The nature of that is very challenging. It's stronger in meaning than just simply affirming or denying. When you use a question, it's like this is the ultimate form of challenging someone. يعني إن كنت صادقا فأخبرنا. Meaning, if you're truthful, then bring it on. If you're truthful, then bring it on. Who's better than me? Huh? You say to someone, who's better than me? You know, you're not really asking. You don't expect him to tell you Abu Muhammad is better than you. Rather, you want him to understand that there's none better than you. But the way you say it, huh, is stronger than saying I'm the best. Because when you're saying who's better than me, يعني خلاص, you are it, or you are nothing. Actually, if somebody feels this way, Allah musta'an. هل تعلم له سميا والسمي الشبيه والنظير. Now here where we go to the issue that I explained earlier in terms of translating that expression or the meaning of the expression. سمي, the Shaykh says, meaning شبيه, equal, نظير, rival, equal, rival, شبيه, similar, similarity, or an equal, a rival. يعني هل تعلم له مساميا أو نظيرا يستحق مثل اسمه. Now this is where the Shaykh brought a relation between both. Meaning, do you know one who is equal or similar to Allah that deserves like Allah's names, that deserves Allah's names, huh? يستحق مثل اسمه. And the reality is no one has Allah's names and no one has Allah's attributes in the ultimate sense. So this is what is intended. والجواب لا. The answer is no. فإذا كان كذلك فالواجب أن تعبده وحده. If the case is as such, and it is as such, then it is obligatory on you to worship him alone. وفيها من الصفات قوله هل تعلم له سمية وهي من الصفات السلبية. Among the attributes in this ayah is the statement of Allah, do you know any who share his name, or do you know anyone who's equal, do you have any similarities with Allah? Then he said this is from the attributes, the negating attributes, or the negative attributes, negating actually, not negative, the negating attributes. فما الذي تتضمنه من صفات الكمال؟ لأننا ذكرنا فيما سبق أن الصفات السلبية لابد أن تتضمن ثبوتا. فما هو الثبوت الذي تضمنه النفي هنا؟ You're gonna answer this one. The Shaykh said, and don't read from the book, barakallah fiqh. Not that you will cheat, I'm just saying. The Shaykh said, so okay, what does this ayah what is the quality of perfection that this ayah is trying to prove? Because we explained earlier that whenever there's a quality that is negated, where Allah negated having this quality, then it is automatically trying to prove a quality of perfection, even by negating. So no sleep overtakes Allah, meaning He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. He's Samad, right? مَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. No fatigue touched us, meaning Allah is all-powerful, right? So whenever Allah negates something, it's automatically trying to affirm something else. طب in this ayah, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّةً. Do you have any similarities with Allah? Allah negating that, because we said this is an interrogative question in the form of negating. What is it trying to prove? What quality of perfection are we supposed to deduce from this ayah? Yalla, let's shuf.
Comparable.
Huh?
It's not comparable.
Not comparable. Good. Anything else?
Remove any perfection?
Hey, the ultimate perfection. The ultimate perfection. Al-Kamal al-Mutlaq. The Shaykh says Al-Kamal al-Mutlaq. Mutlaq is ultimate. Kamal is perfection. فيكون المعنى هل تعلم له سميا لثبوت كماله المطلق الذي لا يسمي أحد فيه. Do you know any equal or anyone, any similarities to him? Do you have any similarities to him? Because it has affirmed Allah's ultimate perfection, that there's nothing that we know that shares this with Allah. Absolutely. Everything and everyone besides Allah is deficient. Even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what some of the ulama said, that Allah Azza wa Jal shows His creation signs. You see, in one of the battles, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was hit on his face, right? He hurt his face. And even though Allah could have protected him, He could have protected the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from any harm touching him in any way, shape or form. However, Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to show us the perfection of Allah and the imperfection of the creation. That even His Messenger, His face, the most honorable body part, was allowed. Allah allowed that will be harmed to show you the perfection of Allah's face. You know, like in everything, that the perfection of Allah is even with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, is nothing. There's no comparison between Allah and His Messenger. And so this is why we said in the last lecture, it is wrong to have this, you know, these frames that have Allah and next to it Muhammad. Okay? Take it down if you have it and burn it up, because you don't need that to decorate your house. You know, this is not how we worship Allah. Not by having a bunch of Ayatul Kursi here, Surah Al-Ikhlas here, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq at the front door, and a horseshoe outside. We dealt with the horseshoe for those who came to the lecture. And you know, the verses of Allah become means of decoration, right? We use them to decorate and adorn our houses while people smoke, huh? People watching TV with haram, music is being played in the house, backbiting, gossiping, you know, sleeping over the time of salah, you name it. But Allah's name is everywhere in the house. This is a problem. This is belittling Allah's speech. Belittling Allah's speech and Allah Himself Azza wa Jal being so negligent. So the Prophet ﷺ, you know, people used to write back then. They had carpets. They could have easily hung some things in the wall, on the wall that had some verses. This was not the way of the Salaf. They were not about hanging it. They were hanging it in their hearts. The Quran was in their heart, in their mind, in practice. It wasn't a bunch of things that we, you know, carry around with us just for, you know, the purpose of adornment. They took the deen seriously, and this is what we need to do as well. So, na'am, that proves the point. Al-ayah thaniya, qawluhu, walam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. And there's none co-equal to him. This negates who? Yalla, who's those of da'wah, people of da'wah? Yeah. Those who give da'wah?
Against Jesus and the Hindu gods, Christian gods.
Good, but particularly the Christians, what do the Christians say?
Trinity.
Hey, what is the Trinity? Define it, according to the Christians.
The gods, the Holy Spirit, God, and the Son. are one.
Well, in fact, yes, they say, listen to this crazy stuff. If you heard this, when you hear this, you start wondering, what was the person who came up with this thinking, and what is wrong with these people who believe this? They say, the Father is a God, the Son is a God, and the Holy Ghost is a God. But they're not three gods, they're one God. That are co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. Co-equal, meaning one and the same. They're one and the same. Co-eternal, there was never one who came before the other. Co-existent, they survive, they're alive, they exist alongside with each other. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But then you say, well, Jesus was born. Jesus, according to you, was crucified and killed. How can they be co-equal? Okay, if they're co-equal, why was Jesus worshiping God according to the gospel? The gospels, the four gospels. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. It says that Jesus told his disciples, you wait over here. He took with him Peter and some other disciple. And then when they looked for him, he said, I feel sorrow. This is God saying, sorrowfulness has overtaken my heart like death. This is God speaking supposedly. Then he told them, you wait here while I go and pray. And then he went and he fell on his face, made sujood. Okay? So if they're co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, then why is a God worshipping himself? It doesn't make any sense, right? They will never be able to give you an adequate answer. If you're saying co-equal, meaning they are equal, and now you're favoring one over the other, the Son is worshipping the Father. Okay, there's a problem. Secondly, tell them, I dare you to go to church and say, in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Father and the Son. They will kick you out of church. You must begin with the Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Why? Why this sequence if they're co-equal? Little things that will puzzle them, right? But usually they've never thought of them. They've been brainwashed, you know, to think that this is the way of life. But this is, you know, the Christians. This is their belief. And so Allah negated that in the Quran. And there's none co-equal to him, right? And then it further explained it. Lam yalid, wa lam yulad before. He did not beget, nor was he begotten. This ayah is the refutation. The surah is the refutation for the Christians. If a Muslim learns this surah, you can give da'wah to any Christian in the world. Your whole lecture can be only this chapter. All you have to do is learn how to explain it in English, if English you will be using, or whatever language you speak, and know the fasir of the ulama, and make a relation with logic, with things that are illogical in their belief, and you will give da'wah. That's all you need. You don't have to be, others, you know, who have memorized the whole, but you don't need all that. If you have some extra points, bits and pieces, alhamdulillah. But sufficient is Surah Al-Ikhlas, to make logic of, you know, anyone who has brain. Allah does not have children. How do you say Mary, mother of God? How is Mary the mother of God? They believe, the Catholic Christians believe Mary is the mother of God. God has a mother, but God is the creator. That's the definition of God. He's the one who brought everything into existence. That if he had a mother, who brought her into existence? And she must have some parents. And so we go back to eternity. So we don't have a God anymore, because now God is a creation of another God. And a God cannot create a God. Okay, I'm enough. But the idea is, I know, Malish, you may pick up a couple of points here and use them one day in the future, don't you know? You never know. But you know, when you think about them, it's puzzling. And I remember one of the du'at, Malish, allow me to expound, because this is the most beloved thing to me, this da'wah issues. I remember one of the du'at was mentioning, you know, he said something very interesting. He said, you know, when I sit with a Christian, I mean, I really prefer to tell them, you know, what do you mean, what is the meaning of your statement that Jesus is God? I mean, what do you really mean? You know, you really never thought of it this way. Like, let him explain to you, okay, what do you mean when you say Jesus is God? You know, and so he will explain to you. Say, okay, what do you mean that Jesus is the Son of God? So how does that work? Right? And it's very basic. stuff, very basic arguments that cannot be refuted, you know, when explaining to them that, what do you mean that Jesus is God? What is your definition of God? He will tell you, tell him, is God the ever living? The ever living, the one who never dies, the eternal, the first and the last? Say, sure, sure, that's God. Say, okay, alhamdulillah, we agree. Okay, so when you say Jesus is God, how does that fit in? How does that fit in into this definition which you just acknowledged? It doesn't fit in. He's not the first, he's not the last, he's not the ever living. Because you claim that everything that, you know, he was born in 25th of December supposedly, and so on and so forth. So you find that they have absolutely no way to go. Either Allah will guide them to Islam, or they will be among those who chose deviance over Hidayah. Right? They know the truth, but they don't want the truth. And so their abode will be Jahannam and Bi'sa al-Masir. This is an equal recompense for their stubbornness, for their arrogance and rejection of the truth, even though Allah created them not to worship Jesus but to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasanan. So there is none co-equal to Him. تَقَدَّمَ الْكَلَامُ عَلَيْهَا. For those of you who are coming here for the first time, we have already explained this ayah in our previous classes, and early on. So أَيْلَيْسَ يُكَافِيهُ أَحَدٍ, meaning there is none equal to Allah. وَهُوَ نَكِرَ فِي سِيَاقِ النَّفِي فَتَعُمْ. And this is all grammatical, so we will leave it alone. وَكُفُوًا. Now this is important. فِيهَا ثَلَاثُ قِرَاءَات. That expression كُفُوًا has three different قِرَاءَات. وَرَا قِرَاءَات. Come on, you had tajweed, I think, last class, last week with someone else after me.
Recitation.
Qiraat, various ways of recitation, reciting the Qur'an. The Qur'an was not recited in a single way. They were, how many? Seven. Ten, actually. In fact, there are 10 different ahruf, letters, in terms of how to pronounce some words. So you may recite, you may hear warsh. And warsh, they will say, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلِّ. They don't say فَصَلَّ. The worse has their own way of reciting the Qur'an. And there are a number of ways, right? The Sahaba used all of them. This does not affect, rather this is from the miracles of the Qur'an. That the Qur'an was preserved even the way people pronounced the words. And we have chain of narrators up until today. Those who have learned it from their sheikh, 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 to the Sahabi. To the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ajeeb. This book, yani imagine going 1400 years with a chain of narrators up until today where we have everybody's name and his, you know, a small biography concerning him. There's no such book in the world that has this. So don't let the non-Muslims use this against us, because you'll find some of them who may know this and they try to say, you say your Quran is preserved, so why this warsh is different than the hafs, which is the one that is common among the masahib. Say, no, this is from the miracles of the Quran. And usually the meaning is one and the same. It's just a matter of reciting. Or even if the meaning changed, this is from the richness of the Qur'an. It's so vast, it's so noble, so glorious, that it contains so many various meanings that are means of guidance for the Muslims. So all these we could use it against them and turn the tables around and then smash them with the table. So what was I saying? Naam. So there are three qira'at. Kufuwan, which is the one that is popular in the masahif that you have outside. Kufuwan. And Kuf'an. Kuf'an. And Kufuwan. Three. It could be said Kufuwan, it could be said Kuf'an, and it could be said Kufuwan. Now today you will not hear except Kufuwan, right? But if you ever go to another country, like in Yemen or some other places where they still, or Morocco, they still use the other recitations, then, and you hear the other recitation, don't think that the Imam doesn't know what he's doing. Okay? He may just be following another form of qira'ah. فَهِيَ بِالْهَمْزَ سَاكِنَةِ الْفَاءِ. Anyways, the Shaykh broke down the various ways. كُفُوًا, كُفُوًا, and كُفْأَن. And the meaning is the same. وَهَذِي الْآيَةِ أَيْضًا فِيهَا نَفِي الْكُفْءُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So this ayah also includes negating the equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ لِكَمَالِ صِفَاتِهِ. And this is due to the perfection of Allah's attributes. فَلَا أَحَدٌ يُكَافِئُهُ. So none is equal to Him. لا في علمه, not in Allah's knowledge. ولا في سمعه, not in Allah's hearing. ولا بصره, not in Allah's seeing. ولا بقدر, ولا قدرته, not in Allah's ability. ولا عزته, not in Allah's might. ولا حكمته, not in Allah's wisdom. ولا غير ذلك من الصفات, and nothing else of Allah's attributes. None is equal to Him in any way, shape or form. And I believe this is sufficient for this evening inshallah. If we all remain alive till next week, بإذن الله عز وجل, we'll be dealing with the third and the fourth and the fifth ayat, which are quoted to negate Allah having any equals and Allah's perfection in the ultimate sense. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make these classes beyond academic classes where we just have some technical information about Aqeedah. Rather, this will be means of instilling the fear of Allah in our hearts and loving Allah and recognizing who we are worshipping when we do worship Him. So we have a better relationship with Him and we can submit to His will. When we know that Allah has all these beautiful names and attributes and that Allah will honor us if we obey Him, we will not be heedless concerning His rights, and we will hasten to obey Him and fulfill what is pleasing to Him in order to, because He's the only one who deserves it. So one should just realize this. I am a creature, a tiny creature of Allah's, and Allah is the greatest and the most magnificent. He, out of His mercy, with His greatness and self-sufficiency and richness, commanded me to do something as means of honoring me, so I may make it to Him. I'm only a fool if I ignore. I'm only crazy if I say, that means that I don't really believe. Because if I really believed in the greatness of Allah, I'll be shy, right? When I receive a command, knowing Allah's greatness and majesty in His encompassing of the creation in terms of knowledge and sight and hearing, how can I possibly ignore a command of His? Yes, we said we will sin out of weakness, but things that are not weak, things that are just carelessness on our behalf, things that we do continuously day after day even though we know that they are wrong. How can one do this when they recognize Allah's greatness? That means that they do not recognize Allah's greatness. That's the bottom line. Because if we did, we'll be shy. We'll be ashamed of Allah, knowing that He is so merciful that He commanded me to do these things out of love, out of compassion, out of guidance, means of guidance for me, so He may place me in paradise. And I tell Him, I don't need it, I'm okay trying the hellfire. Doesn't work. So the idea behind this aqidah is to strengthen our iman. Yes, we want to be able to deal with the deviants among the Muslims and explain to them what to believe about Allah, but ultimately we want to increase our iman so we may worship Allah Azza wa Jal better. So this is the ultimate objective. I hope that it's been attained in one way or another, along with my shortcomings. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.